So what we looked at in some of the previous classes, we saw that words can have some different meanings. Now, because of this, we looked at some word usage. We looked at the word supper and also breaking bread. And we saw that when we refer to the Lord's Supper, that the word supper takes on a different meaning. Now, what can the word supper refer to besides the Lord's Supper?
Dinner, a meal.
Okay.
It could
be a common meal. And in 1 Corinthians 11, we looked at some examples of how the word was used within those couple of verses, and we saw that this word was used in three different ways. Now, this referred to the Lord's Supper, then we see the idea of own supper, and then also the Passover supper. Now, although the word supper was used in all of these three cases, we know that when it speaks of the Lord's Supper, it's not referring to a common meal. And this is even explained throughout the verse, or in several verses there. And then even as we see in verse 34, it comes out and says, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. And in the same way, we also looked at breaking bread, and we see how that can have more than one meaning. This too can have the meaning of a common meal or be referred to as the Lord's Supper. And then we looked at the idea of communion. And so, with whom do we have this communion or sharing with? Okay, Christ. And how did we, when we looked at this, how do we have this shared? In connection with partaking the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, it said that we proclaim the Lord's death. And as often as we eat and drink, we proclaim His death. Now, does that mean as often as we eat and drink anything we proclaim His death, or is it talking about something specific here?
The Lord's Supper.
Okay. So, and this, what is it talking about as far as eating and drinking? Is there a specific element?
The elements that He designated.
Okay. So as often as you eat and drink these elements is what it's talking about. And we understand that it's not just the elements themselves. It has to do with the setting and the reasoning. Right. So we understand from that it's not the elements themselves that has the power. So when we partake, there's no power in the elements themselves. And we're not partaking to receive forgiveness, as we've looked at. But where does the power lie when we do this? And it might be a trick question, but okay. Well, in remembrance, okay, as we remember what is done.
What we have seen is that our faith is that we remember that they've given us to remind us of the forgiveness of sins for salvation.
Reminds us of the forgiveness of sins. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Rocky.
Back there, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16. Verse 16.
Right.
About the sharing. let me throw this out for people's consideration. I do believe it is vertical between us and God. What's in focus here? If you look at the first part of verse 16, is not the cup of blessing. So there's something of blessing. It's not, and it says, goes on, which we bless. Okay, we bless, that's us, give thanks, but it's a cup of blessing. How is the blood and body of Christ a blessing to us? Well, it's salvation through his death. So when we're sharing in that, we're declaring that we acknowledge that. And this fellowship that is basically it's salvation. It's what the blood brought about. It brought us redemption. It is a cup of blessing for us. So we're having this vertical communication. And it's what we're sharing here is the salvation that's been brought about by the body and blood of Christ.
Okay. Yes, sir. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Okay, so, and as we get into our other lesson, we'll see this idea how Jesus speaks of the body and such. That's not necessarily referring to the elements as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, but what that is to remind us of. And so we see here that the power, when we're partaking, it's no power in the elements themselves. What we're doing is we're partaking in memory of what was done. Now, the power is in remembrance, and that's remembering who Jesus was, and or who he is, I'm sorry, who Jesus is, and why he came. And when we remember that we would be eternally lost without him, that should cause us to reflect on ourselves. We should look to our individual lives and be honest with ourselves. As we're partaking, this is to remind us of what was done. So we can reflect on our life. We can reflect on our actions. And does our life show that we believe in what we're proclaiming? So does it show that we believe in him? Does our life show our trust and need in his blood? Okay. We also, or we should always keep Christ on our mind, and the Lord knew we would need to be reminded. And this is something we need to keep fresh on our minds of what he has done for us. So when we partake, we're saying, I believe. And we're having a vertical fellowship, as Rocky had mentioned. But there's also, when we're doing this, there's also that horizontal fellowship. And now, most importantly, is the vertical. But we need to recognize that we're also having this horizontal. When we partake, that's what we're saying to one another, that I believe. And we can be encouraged by one another's faith. Now on page 76, we'll look at the actual elements. Now, as we looked at previous, the power wasn't in the element. The power is not in the elements, and we don't receive forgiveness by partaking of the elements, as we know. Forgiveness is obtained another way. When we partake, this is a reminder to us of that forgiveness that we have. And as stated previous, we're to do this, or we do this in memory of Christ, in memory of what he has done. Let's look at some of the different accounts of where the Lord's Supper was instituted. Let's start in Matthew 26. I want to read these different accounts, and then we'll kind of make some points about some different sections of them. And Matthew 26:26, we'll start there. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So, well, before we look at any of the other things, how would you do it this way? Sorry, keep going back and forth here. So we see that while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we see the idea of bread is the body. Okay, now in Mark 14:22, while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Or, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Now, we see again, while they were eating, Jesus takes the bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it, and said, "Take, this is my body." So again, we see this idea of the bread as a symbol of the body. In Luke 22, we'll start in verse 14. "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when they had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So, again, we see this same idea, that the bread, they're given bread, and it said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, there's a difference in Luke, and also we'll look at 1 Corinthians, as far as the "do this in remembrance of me," we'll see that that's the same in Matthew and Mark is the take, or the take, eat. So we're to take and eat. This bread is a symbol of the body in remembrance. Now in 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me.'" So we see this idea again, and I'm not trying to just go over and over, but we see this in the different accounts. This idea is the bread as the symbol of the body. We're to do this, or to take, eat this bread in remembrance. So we see the idea of the bread as a symbol of his body, or he gave his life for us. We can look in Colossians. Got a couple of verses that help explain this. Now in Colossians 1:22, it says, "Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." Now if you look in Hebrews 10:10, he takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And also in 1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself," speaking of Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." So we see this idea of the life that he gave for us, so that we might live. Now in the same way, as we've looked at the bread, we also see this idea about the cup. Are there any thoughts or comments? Y'all can just jump in there. I know this is, I didn't really have any questions on this lesson. And I'm sure most of us are pretty familiar with this, but if you have any thoughts and comments, please just jump right in there. And Matthew, we'll go back to Matthew in 26:27. In Matthew 26:27, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink, or drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So here we see that cup is put for, well, the contents we see lower, further down. So we understand, and we looked at this idea, I believe, in one of the past classes, that the cup is put for the contents. And as we see in these verses, the contents are specific. So we see here this cup, or the fruit of the vine, as the symbol of His blood. And we'll speak more of this idea of blood here in a minute. Now also in Mark 14 and 23... when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood," or "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine." So we see again this idea of the cup being put, or speaking of the fruit of the vine, as the blood, or the death. In Luke 22:17, in 22:17, when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine." Now also, fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And you see in verse 20, in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you in this new covenant in my blood." So again, we see this idea of the fruit of the vine as a symbol of that death, which has to do with the new covenant. We'll have some more on that a little further as we get in the lesson. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:25, again, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Now, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we see this idea again as the in remembrance of the blood, or in remembrance of that death. Now, like we have looked at in a previous...
We see in all these examples that the remarks that are made. Matthew, he says, "Drink from it, all of you." He gave it to them, and they drank from it. "Take this cup and share it among yourselves." The idea of they all drank from the same cup. Mm-hmm. And there's still folks out there that
one cup
to do the one cup thing.
Right.
Why is one cup done places and in other places? Is it strictly a health issue?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to answer that, but in that same way, I guess I'm not real familiar with those that do it that way. How particular are they in the sense of, when they drink from it, this one cup, how do they, does anybody know how they handle the breaking of the bread?
It's all, what I've heard, it's one one piece that goes around and is broke from that one piece.
Okay.
And then the cup goes around and is passed to everybody. One cup. You know, whether they're, you know. So, and you know, every instance we read, that's, it says you got to drink from it, or
from
share this, which leads to whether it's one container.
Right. Okay. Did you have a comment, Rocky?
Let's see on your wall here. You can comment on it?
Yeah, I was going to comment.
Go ahead.
Go right
ahead. I don't know which one. I mean, I had several comments to be made. Just from an observation standpoint, since the question was asked, if there have been a place that believes in one cup, I mean, believe they take it from this kind of language. There's no question about that. But it gets back down to what their understanding of the cup is. Is it the cup, or is the cup, or as you said, the cup's standing for what's the contents?
The contents.
But it is literally one cup that gets passed around, and there's nothing done. Well, I guess it can vary wherever you go. I've been places where that's what was practiced, and it's one cup, and you know, it just gets passed around.
Hmm.
There are also people that believe you have to literally break the
right.
Bread. And I've been places where that was done, where you know, that was part of the service, breaking of the bread. Now, once they broke it, whoever was in front broke it, but that ended up being all that was necessary. Of course, when it passed around, people were going to get something off of it or pick up a crumb or whatever.
Right.
But that wasn't the key. What was key was the very first one, the person who was conducting the service, symbolically broke the bread.
Hmm.
That's what they, at least there's one place, I don't know where that was done, that's what came about. But it comes back to, I think it comes back to the misunderstanding about what this is about.
Right.
There are a number of things in here, and if you try to take a literal, which is really what the one cup would be, you take it literally, then you're going to find yourself in big trouble.
Jesus,
you've got to share. I mean, one, you got to deal with the blood issue, you've got to share the cup, which is the physical aspect. I mean, it just causes all kinds of problems when people start trying to take this literally.
Right.
Which is where I think people. I mean, I haven't been in an argument with anybody or debate or anything about anything with anybody that would believe in one cup, but I think that's where it comes from.
Well, and also that, because if you're literal, then does Jesus have to break the bread? But I mean, I don't know. Rocky, do you have a comment?
I just echo what Wallace said, that you know the cup here. You answered Jeff's question before. Is that you know you spent some time talking about the contents.
Right, the contents.
Thing about breaking the bread. The issue there is, and we've covered that already. People bring that up and say, well, this is break the bread.
Right.
But then what you're doing is you're applying 19th, 20th, or more recently, interpretation of what breaking of bread means. And you already described what breaking of bread means. It means distribute food. Now, that's what the meaning is. We'll go back here. Now, we take a new meaning, just look at the words. Well, you can break it, break it. That's new interpretation. That's not how breaking of bread is used. You illustrate it very quickly. It's to share, distribute the food. And that's what we do in the Lord's Supper. So, not necessary to break the bread.
Right.
It's a 20th or 19th century interpretation of breaking bread. Well, again, I'm repeating myself. Right?
Well, good comments. Thank you. Did that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you all for your comments. Let's see. We look at Mark 14:23. I think that's where it was. Oh, no, I think I might have turned back.
I don't know what page you're on.
Mm-hmm. 11:25, is that where it was? Oh. Sorry, my brain's a little slow today. today. Don't look it up here like that. In 1 Corinthians 11:25, so in the same way, he took the cup, also after saying, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This rolls. Okay. So like we've looked at in the previous class, the cup is put for the contents, and like we just looked at, and this is the contents is the fruit of the vine. And the fruit of the vine is a symbol of that blood, or that is a symbol of the death. So we see how this was referred to as the blood of the covenant. And Christ's death made the new covenant possible. Let's look at Ephesians 1:7. We'll look at a couple verses here. Have to do with that. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And in Colossians, Colossians 1:20. Through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Also in 1 Peter. Peter 1:19. Talking about, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And in John, 1 John 1:7. I'll start at the beginning of verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And also, so we can see this idea of this blood as a symbol of death. Okay, I mean, it's put for death. And this is, when we partake of this, this is to remember that death that was given. And as it mentioned, the blood of the covenant, so this forgiveness we have in Christ, this is to remind us of that forgiveness. If you notice how this is worded in some of the passages, it might help us understand some things. We could use more than one verse to do this, but let's just look at Luke 22. We'll start in verse 19. These verses are similar. Some have some differences, but they're similar, and we'll just use Luke 22. We'll start in verse 19. Now we see there that in 19 it says, speaking of the bread, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you." And we see from the text that this has to do with a body giving. And so, what was given? What did Christ give? Okay, just his life. Or so we'll see here that it's still pointing to the death of Christ and what was given on our behalf. So we see that this life was given, and when we partake of the bread, we are not to think of actual flesh, but we're to think of Him, and that is the incarnate Son of God that died for us, and we're to think of our need for Him. Now, just like the bread is not the actual flesh, the same goes for the fruit of the vine. When we partake of the fruit of the vine, well, if you combine the thoughts or word usage from these verses, speaking of bread, it says to take, eat, or do this in remembrance. And so it's in remembrance of what? And that is, like we mentioned earlier, who He is and why He had to come. So in the same way, the fruit of the vine is not to make us think of His actual blood. It is, you know, not the red stuff, but it's put for His death, as He died for us. And the next verse up in Luke 22 and verse 20 says that the cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in My blood. So this covenant, talking about this covenant that was ratified by His blood, or ratified by His death. And also noted Hebrews 9:16. We'll go to Hebrews 9:16. I forgot I just passed this out. So Hebrews 9:16. For where a covenant is, there must be, or there must of necessity be, the death of the one who made it. So this covenant was ratified by His blood, or ratified by His death. Now the idea is to remember Him. Okay, the bread is like His body, and the fruit of the vine is like His blood. So what I put as eat is to, or believe in, or trust in His body, the incarnation, to die for the sins of men. And drink is to believe in or trust in His blood of the new covenant, and that is His death that was necessary to and accomplished to ratify the covenant, or the ratification of the covenant that provided the remissions of our sins. Are there any thoughts or comments at this point, or no? Okay. Let's turn. I'm on page 80.
That's what I just went off on.
Oh, okay.
But the pages don't mesh because...
Well, here, try that one. That one's going to work out better for you.
You're welcome.
I do have a question. Too late now.
Is it too late now? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can we say that bread and the fruit of the vine are symbols of the body and the blood? That they're symbols?
Depending on what you mean by that, I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if anybody else. I mean, it does symbolize or when you're partaking.
Well, that's kind of what I thought, but I know I've heard people being opposed to calling them symbols.
Is anybody?
This is a symbol of my body. He says, "Is this my body?"
He was there.
I know. He could say.
Are y'all familiar with that? I'm not familiar with anyone.
I mean, it's not like he saw it on a piece of skin and said, here, this is my body.
Know. I mean, like, can we say partake of these symbols? I don't know. I think about it sometimes because I heard that argument before a long time ago. And okay. Wondered if that was a problem.
The argument was, I only saw her one side of the argument. Don't call it a symbol. What was the other side of the argument?
That they are symbols.
And what would they call it? What was their...
If it's not a symbol, what is it?
It is the body.
Oh, it can't be the literal. Right.
That's what you were talking about.
I wasn't sure at what angle you were talking about. So.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm on your side.
No, I know that. I just wasn't understanding.
Be careful about saying it.
I mean, was it a Catholic?
No, it was a member of the church.
You can say it. Was it Lisa?
Was it Lisa?
You rebel, you Lisa.
I don't have a problem with calling it a symbol. Like I said, I guess it would depend on what they meant by saying that. But
I think their only point was that we're not using Jesus.
Well, I mean, we know it's not his actual body and actual blood.
I know what it's meant when you say it at the Lord's table, but it kind of bothers me when you say it at the Lord's table. Because you don't know who's out of the audience. That's the only reason why it bothers me. But it kind of bothers me.
Well, you were right, Grandpa. So what do you mean?
Because you don't know who's out there. That's the only reason why it bothers me. Because I know what they mean. I think I know what they mean. At least I hope I know what they mean. But it does kind of worry me a little bit because you don't know who's out there. Because if you do have a Catholic, that's what...
Well, but in that same sense, if you say this is the body, then you might be saying something to
the people.
No. Because they say this is the body. That, you know...
Oh, and if they're saying that at the Lord's table?
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It's not a big ordinary deal. I never have.
Well, I think we're about to get buzzed. So we're going to... we'll pick up here at the top of page 80.
No, 84.
No, page 80. And I will have... the contribution. I'll pass that out Sunday, and so I will finish this lesson, and then after contribution, whatever day or so we have left, we'll just have review.